Take your Bibles to Matthew chapter number 4. If you read your Bible this morning, you read Matthew chapter 9, and we'll look there too. But there was a thought that came to my mind in Matthew chapter 9, and I thought, that's interesting. And I thought there's probably some other verses, so I looked up these verses this morning and tried to hopefully get a little bit of understanding. I challenged us last Sunday night to begin this month of January, this new year, to pray every day. 31 days of praying as a church, 31 days of trying to reach things together as Christians. After I left last Sunday night, and I know because of the holidays, all of that, it wasn't as many people here as usual, but it dawned on me that we really didn't talk about what to pray about. And I was approached yesterday. Teresa came in and talked to me about something, and after we talked about an hour, I said, "You know, do you mind if I if I pray about this for a little bit?" I said, "I'm all for doing anything that would exercise faith and build up the church and all such like things." And I said, "But would you mind if I said I'd hate to be a hindrance instead of a help." And so we parted ways. And so this morning, whenever I got into my Bible reading and thinking, I've been trying to do some different things this year. I have several books, and so my goal is to read a commentary on like the book of Psalms. I started by Scroggie today, or this month with Psalms. And I'll tell you what, man, I have got such insight into the first six Psalms now. And boy, it just, he's got such a practical way of telling things. And so I've enjoyed that, been trying to refresh my memory on spiritual leadership and role as the pastor and things to do and all such like things that I so desperately need to improve upon. And when I stand in front of the Lord one day, I don't want God to be disappointed. I think he's going to be in a lot of areas, but I don't want him to be disappointed in all areas. And I think I mentioned this. I think when I turned 50, it didn't bother me at all. No big deal. It's just another year, and you go on. And when I turned 51, it wasn't no big deal to me at all, just another day of the year. But boy, when I turned 52, it was like, dude, I'm getting old. Amen. I mean, life's about over with. And I thought, boy, I better kind of, if I'm going to do anything, I better get with it. Amen. And so I've kind of been motivated in that direction. And I pray in my private prayer time, Lord, I don't know how much time I have left. But Lord, whatever it is, I want it to be used for you. And if I've wasted years before, and I know I have, I've wasted so many years and so much time, I would like to be able to gain some of that back. The Bible says redeeming the time because the days are evil. And so God gives us that opportunity. So I was reading in Matthew 9, we're going to go there in a minute. And this phrase came, stuck out into my mind. I want you to look at Matthew 4 and verse 23 and then I'll just give you the phrase when we get to it. Matthew chapter 4 and verse 23. I've encouraged all of those that are retired to read through the New Testament, and all of those that are not retired to read through the New Testament. So this month, so hopefully you can get that done. How many is on a good start to it? Good, good, good. I've got Acts done and Romans and a few other things. And so, I almost have Romans done. And it's not hard to do if you'll just set your mind to it. All right, just give about 35, 40 minutes a day, especially if you're retired. Amen. You've got a few minutes on your hand, okay? And if you're not, when you get home, don't do anything until you get your Bible reading done. Tell your husband you can't. Cook supper until you get your Bible reading done. And it may help you to lose weight and him to do more around the house. Just never know. If it causes contention, see one of the deacons. Amen? All right, Matthew 4 and verse number 23. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. Now listen to this phrase. They brought unto him. That was the phrase that caught my attention. They brought unto him all that were sick people, that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people. Now all this fits together. I'll just give it all to you. It's amazing to me how they brought them all to him, and he healed them all, and then they followed him. So I'm just thinking maybe, and we'll read some other things here, maybe if we'd bring people to Jesus, maybe they'd just get healed and just start following him. So I thought about that. They brought unto him. They didn't bring them to the church, which there's nothing wrong with the church. They didn't bring them to a society. They brought them unto him. And I thought that's interesting. Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. Now this is a different day, because we're different chapters. So this is a different day. In verse 16, when the eve was come, they brought unto him. Now in chapter 4, we read all sick people, and that were taken with divers diseases, torments. Now, in verse 16, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits and with his word and healed all that were sick. And then in verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, it seems like to me every time there's something going on, there's a great multitude about it. Amen. Chapter 9 and verse number 2. Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. And behold, they brought unto him a man, just one fellow this time, sick of the palsy, laying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said to the sick of the palsy, "Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee." And of course, there was that big rumble about, could he do that? But notice in verse number 8, and when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God, which hath given such power unto men. Verse 32, and as they went out, behold, now this is a different fella. Behold, they brought to him a dumb man possessed with a devil. And the devil was cast out, and the dumb spake, and the multitudes marveled, saying, It was never so seen in Israel. But the Pharisees said, he casteth out devils through the prince of the devils. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in the synagogues, preaching the gospel of kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. Now, if you would, look at Mark chapter 1. Now, some of these will be a repeat, all right? We already read them, and but some of them will be a repeat, but they're worth reading. Bible's worth reading, amen? All right, Mark chapter 1, verse 32. And verse 32 says, "And at evening, even when the sun did set, they brought unto him all that were diseased, and them which were possessed with devils. And all the city was gathered together at the door, and he healed many that were sick of divers diseases, and cast out devils, and suffered not the devils to speak, because they knew him." Look at verse 37. "And when they had found him, they said unto him, All men seek thee." Great while before day, he went out and prayed, but man, there was a great company saying, "Well, we got to get a hold of this fellow." Amen. Then look at Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9 and verse 20. We use this Tuesday night in our service down in Centralia, and then Wednesday up here. Notice the phrase, "And they brought unto him. When he saw him straightway, the spirit tear him and fell to the ground and wallowed foaming." And look at chapter 10, verse number 13. "And they brought young children to him." Look at Luke chapter 18. Preacher, why are we reading all these? Well, there's a great thought here, if I can get it out. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. "And they brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them." And then in Acts chapter 5, verse number 15. Well, look at verse 14 first. "And the believers were more added to the Lord, multitudes, both of men and women." Verse 15, "In so much that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at the least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also multitudes out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks, and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Isn't that interesting? Now here's the thought. If you go back to Matthew chapter number 9, and that's where I read this morning, and so I guess that's just where we'll go at. But they brought unto him. Now I believe if anything's going to work, it's going to have to be brought to Jesus. Now, I want to talk just a little bit tonight about praying this month together as a church and bringing things to Jesus. Bringing people to Jesus. Now, I'm not sure about all of this and all the scenery and all the things that were taking place. But I'm smart enough to read the Bible and know that some people decided that, you know what, all of our efforts so far have been in vain. And whatever they had tried hadn't worked. And we believe that this man is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And so we're going to go to Him, and we're going to bring our troubles and our problems that we can't fix and we can't solve to Him. And notice in all of those verses, even in the book of Acts, they brought unto Him. They brought their problems to Jesus. I got to thinking about who these people were. They're not named. We don't know. We know the four friends that brought the man on the bed, but we don't know who they were. They won't know their name. A few times in the Bible, God tells us names of people that came to Him and got healed. But for the most case, we don't know any of these people. We don't know a thing about them, except for they are mentioned in the Bible. And they are outstanding people in the Bible. And they have some character qualities that probably ought to be character qualities of us tonight as we bring people to Jesus. Number one, I believe they were a concerned people. I believe they were concerned about the person or the persons that they brought to Jesus. They had to be concerned. We know the four friends were concerned about their friend on the bed that they brought him to Jesus. We know that these that were sick of the diseases and the devils and all these other things, they had to be a concerned people. Isn't it amazing what the difference is between a concerned person and an unconcerned person is? I mean, a concerned person to do things that an unconcerned person won't do. Let me say this tonight to all of us, especially to my heart. If you are concerned about the spiritual state of people, you will bring them to Jesus. I mean, if it's a true concern. I'm not talking about saying, well, yeah, you know, preacher, well, I'll be praying about this, that, and the other. No, I'm talking about something that's heavy on your heart tonight. Something that's heavy on somebody else's heart tonight. If you are truly concerned, you will make earnest prayer about it. You will. I can't see these people saying, well, you know, yeah, Jesus is down there, but you know what? Let's just give the medicine a little time longer. No, there'd been some miraculous things happening. Let's get down to Jesus. Amen? Let's get down there where the power is. Let's get down there where the change can be made. And I believe these people were concerned about those that were sick, those that had the palsy, those that were demon-possessed, those that were blind. I mean, how could a blind man find Jesus? How could a deaf man have known about Jesus? How could all of these people that had these problems, and it seemed like to me, if you read carefully as I did, there were a lot of people that were in great need. I don't know about you, but in case you haven't kind of looked around in the last month, we have had an awful lot of trouble going on. You know, I read a book about it's just right whenever I began to pray about great faith and all these things. And one of the things that the writer wrote in the book, he said, expect great problems with great success. And I thought, that's almost Bible. Paul said, there's a great and effectual door open for me, but there are many adversaries. And I began to look around this week at the church, and I began to count person after person, about five or six or seven on my hands. And I thought, you know what? I think maybe the devil might be doing something that maybe is stirring up the kingdom of darkness rather than us just sitting idle doing nothing. And I thought, you know, we need to be much in prayer over the spiritual condition, but most of these problems were physical conditions. Some of them were spiritual. But we ought to be equally concerned for those that are physically. Man, we looked at Brother Ron today, and I mean, it was a sad sight. Me and Brother Troy had to pick him up, help stand him up, I guess would be the way to say it, and kind of walking to the bed in order to get into the bed. A month and a half ago, he was walking on his own. I mean, everybody was all excited whenever the baby was born here just a few, I guess, weeks ago or ever how old she is. Oh, what a delight. What a time has changed. And I'm just saying tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we could go on and on. But you know, ladies and gentlemen, you don't get concerned about things until they become a problem beyond our control. I didn't see anybody calling for a prayer meeting whenever the baby was born and everything was fine. No sense to pray then, amen. But now there's something out of control, beyond our control. And so these people were concerned about the condition that they were in. Not only that, but they had to be a loving people. There had to be the spirit of love. My goodness, those friends had to love their friend to bring him to Jesus. That dad had to love that son enough to bring him to Jesus. Jairus loved his daughter enough to bring her to Jesus. The centurion loved his servant enough to go get Jesus. I mean, there ought to be a spirit of love in our hearts to motivate us to bring people to Jesus. You know, ladies and gentlemen, maybe tonight what our church needs is revival in this area of love. In a real love for God and a real love for the things of God. Maybe tonight we need to examine ourselves and see, do we have a spirit of love? You know, told you this morning I've memorized 1 Corinthians 13. I just haven't memorized it. I've been trying to memorize it and implement it into my life. One of the parts there says, love suffereth long and is kind. That word suffereth long means this, it's not short with people. Have you ever just gotten to get quickly, you're fed up with somebody? Now, aren't you glad God don't get fed up with you? But sometimes we don't suffer long with people. Well, you know, if you're as perfect as all of us was, you wouldn't have to. The Bible says, love suffereth long and is kind while it's suffering long with people. You know what that means? Here's somebody who keeps messing up and messing up and messing up, and you think after a while, you know, come on, dude. You ain't plumb stupid. Amen? But love keeps saying, is kind, is kind. You know, we need a revival of kindness in our hearts. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I know teenagers, and especially girls and teenage boys. Probably little girls and little boys can be mean. But I tell you what, I've been around the church long enough, and I've been around other churches long enough. I've seen some adults get pretty ugly faced, thinking they were being spiritual when they weren't being. Well, I'm just going to tell you what I think. Okay. Show us how unkind you can be. I mean, it doesn't take much to be kind. Now, I have a hard time with it, so I have to practice at it. Amen? Love is kind. Love is kind. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I can't see these people that they brought these folks to Jesus out of a mean, well, come on, let's go to Jesus. Get you healed so you can get to cooking again. Bless God. I don't think that's the way it was. Do you? I don't think people were mean-spirited when they were bringing their loved ones, and I guess that's who these people were. I don't know. Maybe they were friends, but they were loved ones. They were somebody, and they loved this person, and I don't see them being mean-spirited. Let me tell you this. I don't see them being judgmentally or critical in their spirit either. Well, I tell you what, we'll take you to Jesus, but you deserve everything you get, brother. Now, I know none of you are critical spirited, or none of you in this room are mean spirited or have a judgmental spirit. But I'm going to tell you what, we best be careful how we demonstrate our spirit. Because as a man sows, so shall he reap. Well, preacher, I'll tell you what, nobody ever sends me a card. Well, how many cards have you sent? Preacher, nobody ever visits me. Well, how many people have you visited? Well, I'll tell you what, they're always talking about me. Do you talk about people? You see what I'm saying? Whenever these people came, man, they didn't care why the guy was all laid out in the bed. They didn't care why the guy had palsy. They didn't care why all this happened. They just, out of love, brought him to Jesus. Now, Jesus may have had a word for him. Go and sin no more. That was his business. That's not my business. And I just think tonight, if we're going to set our mind to pray in this month about people, we need to be genuinely concerned. We had just left, Brother Troy and I just left Brother Ron's house, and I got that text, and so I called Rosemarie and asked her what was going on, and of course we was up there. But when I got here to church, I got down here where I usually pray, and I prayed for them. And I prayed earnestly, and I didn't know if God was going to, what God was going to do, how he was going to do it. But I prayed earnestly because I didn't want them to have to go through some tragedy or something. I didn't want this little baby to have all these problems that, you know, would go in my mind and such like things. And so I prayed earnestly, and I know some of you did that I called and contacted. But I'm telling you, we ought to be motivated by love. I didn't pray for Andrew and Rosemarie because they're employee, or he's an employee of the church. When Brother Andrew first came here, you know, ladies and gentlemen, we flew or drove him out here and kind of talked to him a little bit and left, and then we called him to be the assistant pastor. But you know what? He's different than I was. And he still is. Different than I am. But you know, I've grown to like Brother Andrew. I can't say I liked him when he first came. I didn't know him, but I've been around him enough now. I like Brother Andrew. I like Rosemarie. I've grown to love them. I've grown to love their kids. I've grown to aggravate their kids. Amen? The only time Drew gets beat up is when he comes to church. Do I think they're perfect? No. No. But I'll tell you what, they have a broken heart tonight. You say, well, preacher, I'll tell you what. Well, tell me, they still got a broken heart. I guarantee if that was you down there, you'd want somebody to have a broken heart for you. Sure. Sure. So tonight, they were concerned people, they were loving people. But I'll tell you what, they were helpful people. Boy, I'll tell you what, they just didn't say, boy, I'll tell you what, if you get down there at Jesus, I'll tell you what, it'd sure do you some good. I'll tell you, I was down there at the meeting the other night, and boy, there was some people just in the same shape you were. I'll tell you what, if you just get down there to Jesus. Notice what the Bible says, they brought them. Miss Sue, got them hands all curled up and I tell you what, that's just amazing spirit she has and the good spirit she has. And so Brother Troy, and Brother Troy did all the talk. He knows all that stuff. I just sat there. I didn't know what to say. I don't know about any of that medical stuff. She is telling him, they is talking terms. So I watched a little bit of TV while they was doing all the talking because I didn't know what was going on. Amen. Brother Ron slept most of the time. I'd hear him snore every once in a while and think, brother, if you don't quit, I'm going to help you. Amen. So they was talking here and there, and so we got ready to leave, and they was going to put Ron back in bed, call Leland, and Brother Troy said, we'll do it. I'll help you. I said, sure, we can hoss him in there. My goodness, he ain't that big, amen. Me and Brother Troy's outside of our weight. We're pretty big boys, amen. And so we wheeled him up here, and Brother Troy just told him what to do and got him up under his arms and lifted him up, and we kind of walked him over there, and you know, it's real easy to fall back on the bed. And he fell back on the bed and he's in bed. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? You know, a lot of times that takes a lot of effort to help somebody go out of your way. Yeah. 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 Sometimes it takes a little bit of effort to, takes a little bit of your time to help somebody in need. Sometimes it takes a little bit of your money to help somebody in need. Sometimes it just takes a little bit of this, that, and the other. Help somebody in need. Here's them old four boys. I don't know where they came from. You know, Jesus was in the house, the Bible says. And they came to the house. They carried him. And I don't know, maybe they carried him for 10 miles. I don't know how long they carried him. But to carry him along, you know, he got heavy after a while. I don't care who he was, he got heavy after a while. And I can see these blind people, you know, and trying to lead a blind person. And sometimes it was evening, the Bible says. Well, you know, to a blind man it's no big deal if it's evening. But sometimes we have the blind piano guy come and tune the piano. And if I'm not here, and he just goes up there and does it. So when I come in, I always yell, "Hey, you want me to turn the lights on?" We think it's funny. He laughs. I laugh. It's funny. Don't pretend that's so bad. Oh, good night. His wife just sits here in the dark. And so you know, leading somebody at night, I mean, leading somebody in the day that's blind wouldn't be something. But leading somebody at night that's blind, maybe a little different story. You see, ladies and gentlemen, there's all these problems. And here was helpful people. Are you a helpful person today? Do you help people in need? I'm not talking about the easy ones, the ones you like. I'm talking about, do you help people, spiritually speaking? But they were also people of faith. The Bible says, behold, they're in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 2, they brought... And behold, they brought unto him a man sick of the palsy, lying on the bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith. They were people of faith. I'm here to tell you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, if we're going to bring somebody to Jesus, we better have enough faith that he can do something for them. Amen? I mean, no sense that, well, you know, we can go over and see. You're an awful hard case, and, you know, I don't know if he's got that kind of power. No, the Bible says they just had enough faith. They got that person over to Jesus. That centurion, you know what he said? He said, "You don't have to come to my house." He said, "Just speak the word, and that'd be good enough. Just, you know, I don't want to trouble you. Just speak the word." Other people, like Jairus, said, "Hey, would you come to my house? My daughter's sick unto death. She's going to die if you don't come." The widow, or the woman with the issue of blood, never even spoke to Jesus. She just reached up behind him and touched the hem of his garment. They had faith. You know what the Bible says about these people? They had faith. Jesus seen their faith. You know, maybe tonight, maybe. Now, I'm not being critical in any way, shape, or form. I'm just trying to get us to examine ourselves. Maybe tonight the reason why God isn't doing anything for the people we're praying about, maybe we don't have faith enough that he will. Well, I know God can do anything, but I know how they are. You do, huh? So you're lacking faith, or I'm lacking faith, and maybe that's why our praying isn't successful, is because we lack faith. Whenever we pray, God's looking and said, "Well, you know what, I'd be willing to do it," but they just don't got any faith. They're just praying about it because the preacher said to pray about it. I read a book, I've been reading a book, on it's on prayer, I can't remember the name of it. I asked for Christmas. Sam got it for me. And it's written back in the 1800s, maybe the 1700s. And here was a phrase, a gist of a phrase. A lot of people use a lot of words praying, but very few people pray with words. Let me ask you this. Let's just get real serious here. Let's just get real honest, okay? How much of your praying do you think God really hears? I know he hears. You don't understand what I'm saying. We know God knows everything, sees everything, all that stuff. We know all that. But I'm talking about how much of your praying gets into the ear of God to make him do something. Now think about that. Preacher, I spent an hour in prayer. Nothing happened, but boy, I prayed an hour. Well, then did you pray? You know, sometimes I believe we need to spend a lot of time in prayer. But turn in your Bibles to Psalm chapter 4 or 5. Let me look at it. I think it's 5. verse 3. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Do you think praying in the morning is important? Well, if the Bible says it is, it is. Amen. I've been so blessed to read my commentary along with the Psalms that I'm reading. And boy, it's just blessed my heart. It has just encouraged me. And things about the Psalms, I've read them. I've studied Spurgeon's books. This time going around has just been so blessed in reading the commentary along with it that I'm reading. And I'll tell you what, how in the world could David, in such turmoil and troubles and problems, continually pray the way that he did? Well, apparently he believed God was able to do it. Amen? His faith wasn't in David. His faith was in God. When those people brought them folks that were sick and diseased and lunatic to God, they had faith that he could do it. They had faith he could do it. I want to ask you tonight, do you have faith that God will, not can, will do what you ask him to do? Do you have that faith tonight? Preacher, I know God can. No. But will he? Do you got faith God will do what you ask him to do? Take your Bibles to John, 1 John chapter 5. And we won't have a lot of time to go into all this, but I'll just give it to you. I quote this verse quite a bit in praying time. I could quote it to you, but I want you to read it. 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. And this is the confidence that I have in my praying. Is that what it says? No. And this is the confidence that we have in the church. No. And this is the confidence that we have in Him. In Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, we know we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, I didn't quote all the verse. Those three little words in those parentheses or in those commas, listen to this. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever. Isn't that a wonderful word? Could I translate that maybe to this morning? All things. Whatsoever we ask. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of Him. They had no doubt that if they could get to Jesus, whatever they ask, they'd get. And the Bible proves that every time that they did. The last thing is this. They were grateful people. The Bible says in Matthew 9:8, they glorified God. In Mark 1:37, they said they glorified God, or that all men seek for thee. The Bible says in one of the passages, I don't remember if it was Matthew or Mark, one of the passages said they were astonished, they were amazed, they were never seen it like this before. Man, this is good. Tonight, could I ask you to consider just bringing them to Jesus? That's what they did. They brought them to Jesus. You say, well, preacher, if I bring them to Jesus, what's He going to think? Nothing more than He already knows. You know, they didn't try to fix up that man on that bed, did they? They didn't try to dress him any better, give him a bath before they got to Jesus. No, they just brought him like he was. That man over at the pool that Jesus healed went away carrying his bed. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? He probably wasn't a well-smelling fella. They just come to Jesus the way they were. How can you improve a blind man to bring him to Jesus? How can you improve a deaf man to bring him to Jesus? How can you improve a man that has the palsy to bring him to Jesus? How can you bring a demon-possessed man, a lunatic, to Jesus? How can you improve him to bring him to Jesus? You can't. Just as I am without one plea. That's how you come to him. Amen? And tonight, ladies and gentlemen, in our church, there are folks sitting here, me, you, that have people on our mind that are lost and going to die without hope if they're not rescued this year. We have folks that are backslid on God, backslid in heart, the book of Proverbs calls them. And they are away from God, earning and living for the devil. And they're not honoring God. Why in the world wouldn't we just want God to do something to heal them? Help them. You say, well, preacher, they've went through a lot. They were awful, this, that, and the other. So what? So I'm going to give you a chance to speak. Somebody tell me a case that God can't fix. I've heard people say, well, you know what, Brother Tim, so-and-so got hurt by the church. They'll never come back. Well, never's a long time. I've been hurt by the church before. I've been hurt by people in the church. Don't look like it's affecting me much. Some of you have been hurt by people in the church. Good night. Well, you know what? So-and-so did them wrong. You know what? They just, this, that, and the other. They'll just never. No, I'll tell you what. That's what that doctor told that last doctor that girl visited that had the issue of blood. He said, you're not going to get any better. You're going to get worse. That's what she told Jesus. And you know what Jesus did? Your faith has made you whole. Well, Brother Tim, you know what? So-and-so was so devastated by this, that, or the other the church did. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? I get so aggravated hearing that junk. I have a hard time being kind and showing compassion when people tell me that. Now, they don't mind when the world treats them like that. And they keep going back. You remember, turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs in case you don't think I'm telling the truth. Because I know sometimes everybody thinks I just make stuff up. Turn to Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. And then we're gonna have time prayer. Proverbs chapter 23. Verse number 29. Proverbs 23, verse 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babblings? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, and they that go to seek mixed wine. Look not upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At the last it biteth like a serpent, and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, thou shalt be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth on the top of a mast. They have stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They have beaten me, and I felt it not. When I wake, I'm going back. That's what he said. When I awake, I'll seek it again. Down there at the honky-tonk, and he got a little beer or something in him and started. You've heard the story about bad Leroy Brown. Well, he found out what happened whenever you start messing with the wife of a jealous man. Boy, I tell you what, he got beat up. Guess where he was at? Well, he's in the wrong place. Might I tell you, there's a lot of folks who go out in the world and they get beat up. Guess what? Well, we're going back. Boy, wasn't that a great time last night? Yep, can't see out of this eye, but I'm tell you, got this good eye. I'm going back again. something happened a little bit at church. Well, somebody didn't hold the door open for me, or somebody did this, or somebody did that. I'll never go back. Isn't it amazing how sinful we are? So why not just bring them to Jesus? Say, preacher, you just don't know the case. I don't need to know the case. I know Jesus. Did you hear what I said? I don't need to know the case. I know Jesus. I said I don't need to know the case. I know Jesus. And from what I read about Jesus, there's never anything that he met that he couldn't fix if we'd come to him in faith. So tonight we're going to pray together. Now, if you don't have any burdens on your heart, then I guess I just have to wonder, number one, are you saved? And how can you not be in the Bible and not have a concern on your heart for somebody? Amen? But you know, there are people in the church and that have burdens on their hearts about their kids, about their grandkids, about their families, this, that, and the other. And you know, as I was reading this morning and thinking about this, I thought, you know what we just need to do is we just need to get in serious matter of prayer and just bring them to Jesus. They brought them to Jesus. They brought them to him. It doesn't appear that they asked if they wanted to be brought to Jesus. They just, hey, you're sick, you're going to Jesus. As sick of the palsy, that guy that was laying in the bed, not sick of the palsy, but that guy that's laying in the bed, and maybe he was sick of the palsy, whatever he was, you know what? He didn't have a say in where he went. They just picked him up and carried him to Jesus. Why not tonight just get serious and bring people to Jesus? Pray about it. Amen? Pray about it every day. You say, well, Brother Tim, what if that person doesn't make it? Well, you know, sometimes we put stipulations on how we want God to answer. One time, I was telling somebody, Miss Shirley and I used to talk a lot whenever we was in the school together and we'd talk. And she'd always tell me this, she was right, regardless if we liked to hear it or not, in the way she said it. She said, Brother Tim, a lot of people are very selfish in the way they pray. You know, they pray for so-and-so, and she would give me an example of somebody. I can't remember any of their names right now, but she would tell me different examples from time to time. She'd say, you know, so-and-so was about to die. And their family began to pray in a very selfish manner. And that person lived a horrible physical life until they did die. Now, if you knew Miss Shirley, she was pretty cut and dry and direct to the point. And you know, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, our prayer is, oh God. We never think about the person, how they have to respond to that prayer. Amen? I don't know if God's going to raise Brother Ron up or not. Amen? Honestly, I don't know. From the physical point, it don't look like it. But God's not limited. He's not limited. But I tell you what, I'd sure rather be in heaven if it was me than to be in the condition he's in. Hard to threaten a guy with heaven. Amen. I mean, if I was not going to get any better and I was as bad off as he was, I'd think, boy, even so come Lord Jesus. Amen. I mean, it's just sad. So sometimes we need to examine our prayers and see if we're just praying a very selfish prayer. Oh, it's all about, and listen, I guarantee you, ladies and gentlemen, sometimes we can pray a very selfish prayer. I want it all about me, God. And sometimes God grants those prayers. And then we live with it and say, why does God, you know, they suffered so long. Well, it's your fault. You prayed about it. We'd talk about that from time to time, her and I would. I'm just saying tonight when we pray, you know, when it comes to God's will, we know God wants everybody to be saved. We know God wants everybody to be sanctified. That means holy living. We know that God wants everybody to be living a thankful life. So why don't we just put our faith in God tonight and just bring them to Him? Just bring them to Him. Lord willing, next Sunday night we'll go back to James, but I just thought maybe since we're going to pray this month, I hope you're praying. I ask you if you was reading your Bible, you praying? Praying every day? Good. I mean alone with God. God said get in the secret place. Get in there and close the door. And shut the door. Get away from your husband, your wife. Get away from the TV, the computer, your cell phone. Don't get anything in there but just you and God. Sam Chadwick is, I think, who I'm reading. And he said, when I go to the prayer room, he said, I take my Bible and that's it. David said, early in the morning will I seek thee. Early in the morning will you hear my voice. Will God hear you early in the morning? Praying, not griping. Should have said that, amen. Praying. Will He hear you early in the morning praying? Or will you not give Him any time? I believe we need to get serious about this matter of praying. More than we've ever done before. We need to get serious. Why? Because there are souls that will not be here this time next year that we need to reach. By the way, I may not be here next year. That's why I need to get serious about it. Amen? So let's get serious about praying, about spiritual needs. Now, how many has a loved one that is backslid in heart that they want to see God restore to fellowship with Him? Okay. So just about everybody. How many has a loved one that is lost and surely going to die and go to hell if they don't get saved? How many knows a friend, a coworker that's not saved? I think I work with a couple. Raising both of my hands. So we all got them, so why don't we bear one another's burdens and start praying? Why don't we start praying for the church, our church members, backslid in heart? Some are probably more dear to you than others, but surely you can pray for them. Amen? I've been trying to work on some of them rascals, or it's like knocking your head against that wall. Bring them to Him. Let Him do it. Father, we thank You tonight for the Word of God. Thank You tonight, Father, that Your Word never fails.